Hello, hello, hello. Good morning. It is morning where I am. And I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a precursor to these episodes because there will be two parts. I had the pleasure of having Lindsay of Vanderpod Recaps. Now, if you're not familiar, Lindsay does recaps of all of the podcasts that are either hosted by the current and former cast members of Vanderpump Rules, about the current and former cast members of Vanderpump Rules, anything that's gossipy. She does recaps, and then she's also started to do some about just Bravo in general as well. Well, we talked for almost 3 hours, and it was a lot. And even now, so today is Wednesday, the 23rd. You will either be hearing this today or tomorrow. I've had some time to reflect on what we spoke about, and I just wanted to make something really clear because I think, first of all, I don't really care if you guys think that I'm a Raquel apologist because I'm never going to feel bad about apologizing. You know, I don't know her. And so, like, not being hateful towards her is not something that I'm going to, like, apologize for. But I do want to be a little bit clear because we do kind of, we talk so much about how shitty of an interviewer Bethany is and how many questions we had for her. And we theorize a lot. It's a great episode or a couple of episodes. But I just want to be very clear, like, there's still something disingenuous and deceptive about Raquel, okay? I can't put my finger on it, and I think that a lot of what the frustration that Lindsay and I talk about is, it's so clear that there's something not being told truthfully, and Bethany is so self-involved that she didn't even think to expand on it, unless there's like another 4 hours worth of content that we don't have any, you know, any knowledge of. And I believe that part of it is because I think that she's being very closely watched. I think that Bethany was chosen on purpose. And the more that I think about how much they talked about money, the more irritated I become. Because I just don't care about her money situation at all. And I felt like that was probably the thing that really probably rubbed me the most wrong way is she had so much to say about how she's broke, and I'm like, we don't care. We don't care if you're broke. It's just, but I also at the same time can also see how frustrating it is to see all these other people making money. And then on the other side, other side, a lot of people have said, well, she should have made her own merch. Well, just based on the reception that she was getting online, I can see why she would think she wouldn't. But if she had made like a Raquel hates snowboarding shirt or any number of like goofy ass things that she's said or things were said about her and made a shirt about them, I probably would have bought it, but I wouldn't have felt like wearing it because I would have felt bad about it. So that was just a little side note I wanted to make. It's going to sound, because we are very like empathetic towards Raquel, I think that Lindsay and I both share some experiences with her, and I've heard a lot of people say, I don't like her because I cannot relate. Well, this is a podcast where you have a couple of people, primarily myself, more so, that can relate to her. So that's the perspective that you're going to get. And I just wanted you guys to know that. Wanted to prep you that this is going to be a two-parter. So the first episode is about an hour, 15 minutes, and I think the second episode is going to be a little bit longer. I also wanted to say, as I've had to say a few times with this, which is so disheartening, but this is a trigger warning. I'm not sure if we start it in the first episode or if we will get into it in the second more so, but surrounding James and his allegations of assaults and abuse against him, we talk about it. And I will say this, I've had a couple of days to listen to some other podcasts, see some things that people have posted online, and from what I can tell, I just wouldn't, I don't think that in 2023 we should be a James stan. That's my personal opinion. I'm not going to tell you who to like. But there's a lot of differing opinions about how Raquel handled herself and the questions that Bethany asked, but there seems to be a pretty common thread about some things that have been maybe brushed under the rug for the sake of moving a story along, keeping the show running. And that seems to be a pretty common thread from what I can deduce. Now, I haven't listened to Lala's podcast. It comes out today. I have I briefly tried to listen to Stassi's, and she, I don't, you know, I don't think she's a credible source, but when it comes to when she talks about experience at the show, primarily, because I don't think that her experience with them as people, like friend groups and all of that, I don't really take a lot from that. But when she talks about her experience on the show and how there were things that were covered up, I have a hard time not believing her, especially when Kristen has kind of come out to kind of infer that things like that have happened. I just think that there's some darkness to the show. And Lindsay says a few times, and I agree, I don't think that the show's going to go past season 11. I don't know how it could. Like I said, I haven't listened to Lala's podcast. I'm not looking forward to it, because I'm sure it'll be it doesn't matter what she says now, because she'll change it later. So whatever she says is probably not going to be particularly insightful. But I just wanted to get all of that off of my chest before we got into this, because it's really important to me that you all understand that I'm coming from a place of just really wanting there to be productive discussion. And I don't feel like sitting around and being like, God, she's a liar, so she lies. And, you know, what can we trust about her? Well, if we're going to ask those questions, let's see. Is there anything we can trust about her? And I also just wanted to make it very clear that primarily Bethany's full of shit. Last thing about Bethany, though, a lot of people have been like frustrated with the way that she responded, because someone said, well, what do you, you know, you hate that all these things were said to Raquel, but what about what you said to Luann? And Bethany said, well, I think saving her life was enough. Apparently, this is an unpopular opinion I found out in the past couple of days. Luann was out of fucking control, okay? And she was acting, I don't know if you guys remember that season, but she was acting like a lunatic. And yes, did Bethany have a complete breakdown that led to her leaving the show? Yes. Did she say some regrettable things? Absolutely. Luann was being an asshole. And she wasn't, whether she was or was not, I don't know. I don't know her, but on camera, she was not acting grateful. There were a lot of things that Bethany did to intervene. And I feel like maybe some people are forgetting the extent to which Luann was like acting out, but it wasn't just like, she wasn't just like drinking too much and she went to rehab. Like that wasn't the, she was like spending like money she didn't have. She was like, she was being very, very destructive. And whatever you feel about Bethany, I had to say that, because there's been so many people that are like, well, Bethany, just, it's all about money. And maybe it is, but also like her boyfriend at the time, who, you know, I guess died. I don't guess died. I just can't remember. I don't know how he died, because I don't think that's ever been really solidified, but he helped a lot too. And Bethany really didn't like Luann and then kind of stepped out of her way to help her. And I don't know. I would encourage people to kind of look into that a little bit more, because when I was listening, I was like, I'm being spun up again into like crazy town, because from what I remember, and as you all know, you know, I like Luann, I like Sonia, but the New York ladies are toxic people too. So I don't feel like I need to go and stand on a mountaintop and scream for the justice of Luann de Lesseps. Okay. I'm not going to do that. And so I don't know. That has nothing to do with Raquel or this interview, but it was on my heart to say. So anyway, guys, these are going to be some really great episodes. We talk about a lot. Lindsay has a lot of perspective, not just from her. She has a little bit of a mental health perspective, but she also has perspective from being someone who has listened to all of the podcasts. And that's not something that all of us have time to do. And she has written them out, and she's on the forum. She's on Reddit. She's on Instagram. So she has a lot of perspective, and I just love having her on. So thank you Lindsay for coming on. Thank you guys for listening. If you can, please download this episode. I cannot stress to you how important that is. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Follow me, and then in my description is my link to my Buzzsprout donations page. If you want to go and make a monthly donation that way, that would be tight. I know I said I was going to get the Patreon up. And when I get a Patreon, I will probably be more willing to discuss what's been going on with me that's been keeping me from being as productive and consistent as I want to be. Who cares about all of that, though? Because we're going to talk about this fucking interview with Raquel and Bethany. So that being said, thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you guys in a minute. Bye-bye. Wind up your waist now. Wind up your waist. Wind up your waist now. Wind up your waist. Hello, hello. This is Who the Fuck Knows with Emily Rose. I'm Emily Rose, and I am back with a guest that I haven't spoken to in a couple of months on the pod, but we have definitely kept in touch. And I want to say, we were planning on doing an episode before a massive event in the Bravo world happened this week. And what better person and what better timing to have on my podcast than Lindsay of Vanderpod Recaps on Instagram. Oh my God. Additional war. Is it 1897?
I have no idea what the numbers are.
Additional war. on Reddit. She does all of these incredible recaps of every Vanderpump Rules related podcast, sometimes other Bravo pods and things in the adjacent world. And this week, we were, I don't know if treated to is the right word. We were exposed. We were exposed to a surprise drop on, I think it was last Wednesday, Bethany Frankel on her Just Be With Bethany feed, I think, because she has a Rewives House podcast, whatever. So on her Just Be With Bethany feed, she dropped an interview with Raquel Rachel Levis. And just a warning, everybody, I didn't like calling her Rachel when the cast was doing it to Spider, so I never got in the habit, so it's going to be a little hard for me to switch. So apologies, it's not to be offensive to her or anything. I just, I thought it was bullshit when they were doing it in the first place, so it's all in support. And now we have this three-part on the pod, ad-fueled episode to dissect, and I'm just so happy to have you here, Lindsay. How are you?
Yes, thank you. I'm so excited to be back. Oh, there's been just this Wednesday happened. There's so much. Mm-hmm. Don't even know how to process it all. But yes, it's a lot.
It is a lot. And I just watched the whole thing on YouTube. And you told me you also watched it. So we get to have the unique perspective of the people that got to listen and watch it. And I kind of, I'm going to talk about that in a bit, but I just want to know, Bethany's been in the news, in the Bravo reality world news a lot, because she has been linked to an up and coming lawsuit. I don't know that it's actually dropped, but like rumors of a lawsuit against Bravo for mistreatment, manipulation of cast members, poor working conditions and things like that. And then she comes out with this episode right before the Raquel episode called The Reality Reckoning, where she talks about her campaign, for lack of a better word. And then she drops the Raquel episode. And I just want to know, Lindsay, where are you with all of that?
Oh, boy. So I listened to her Reality Reckoning episode. And I also have been like keeping up with like what she's been doing. As far as my understanding is, these really high profile lawyers like reached out to her, and like there's not technically a lawsuit yet, but papers have been sent to Bravo or NBC that are like, a lawsuit may be coming, like don't delete or don't like get rid of evidence.
Right.
I think then today something came out about they're trying to get Bravo to get rid of like certain people's NDAs, like have them expire early or something. So that's all happening. And then so I listened to Bethany's like Reality Reckoning, where she kind of talked about like what she's like wanting to do. And I know there had been some speculation because Bethany had been talking about Rachel. And I also, what you said earlier, I never got on the train of like calling her Rachel then. So right. You tell me your name, that is what I would call you. So again, exactly. So I'm now having to think, Rachel. So, yeah. But so I know there's speculation about people being like, oh, Rachel might be a part of this. But when I tell you, when I woke up Wednesday morning, because I wake up real early because I have a 1-year-old, and I saw that episode drop, I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I did not expect to see that. I really didn't.
No, me either. And I was like, I immediately like DM'd you, and I had a couple of friends that I sent. I was like, like, I just couldn't. There's a lot. And I want to get into how you feel about when we had our last episode, we didn't know whether or not she was coming. Raquel was coming back to Vanderpump Rules for season 11. It hadn't really been confirmed or denied either way. It sounded like she was in talks, which apparently she was at some point.
Right.
And we didn't. I think that episode came out late June, maybe. And it feels like a lot has happened since then, but really not. It's really just a lot of pictures and people projecting a lot of feelings onto said pictures and running with it. So we really don't know for sure what's going on with anybody. And we haven't heard from Raquel and Rachel. And then she comes out with this thing on Wednesday. And I don't know if you had listened to Bethany's podcast before, but the ads thing that everyone's complaining about, all of her episodes are like that. And it's absolutely unbearable.
Yeah, she has some of her episodes. So she posted the Rachel interview on, she has two podcasts. She posted it on Just Speak. She also posted it on We Wives. And they both have different ads. So like, again, girl is making bank.
Yeah.
But she will have, I just started listening to her podcast when I just now started recapping like more housewife related content.
Yeah.
But like on Just Be, there will be times where she'll just have like a 10-minute episode or a 7-minute episode.
Yep.
So then, and then you have ads. It's just like, yeah, the whole like, I will say as far as her like adding a lot of ads and stuff, like this is something that she does do.
Yeah. And it's really annoying. And somebody was saying that it was, and I agree, that it was, I don't know if it was smart of her, but we are grateful that they were grateful that she did it, you know, 1, 2, and 3 consecutively rather than making us wait for weeks. I think that that really would have pushed me to my limit with the whole network, with everybody involved, because there were parts, and I didn't take fully extensive notes, but I just kind of hit some highlights. I was really called to actually write out how long her talking time was versus Raquel's. But I didn't, because I was like, it doesn't, you know, she ends up giving us some good stuff. Raquel does, Rachel does. So the parts where she goes on her little tangents, upon the second listen, I skipped through them.
Well, and if you notice on my recaps, I very rarely tried to actually recap what Bethany was saying, because I just like couldn't, like with her tangents and her rants, and I'm sure someone out there probably will do like talking time versus both of them, because I did find myself listening to the interview and being like, okay, I actually still again want to hear more from Rachel.
Yes.
But I'm still getting a lot of Bethany.
A lot. And then today she drops another episode.
I know.
It was about the aftermath. And I also get up very early because I work in a school, so I have to be up early. And a lot of times those first podcasts I listen to in the morning, I'm like kind of tuning in and out. But when I tell you, I listen to the whole thing, I don't think I retained any of it. I just kind of remember like checking in at one point, like, why is she talking about this? And then kind of tuning out. And then she very, very briefly actually talked about Raquel. Cause at the beginning, she went on this really long rant about, I think maybe the strike. I don't know. I couldn't pay attention. It wasn't super relevant. She didn't really hit any of the really legitimate critiques that she got from the episode, and I was just like, girl, you are obnoxious.
I know. Well, and a lot of what she talked about, so in her Reality Reckoning podcast that she posted before the interview, she talked a lot about how, because people were like, well, Bethany, you are just about to like do the show with Bravo.
Right.
And she talked about like how that's been in the works for a while, but then she, a few months ago, decided it didn't feel right. And she talked about how like the people from, what's it called? I haven't watched it on Bravo, the medicine show.
Married to Medicine,
yeah. How there was a lawsuit with someone on there because they said that it was their idea. And so she like rambled on about that, but she had already talked about that on a previous podcast episode.
Yeah.
So she like rehashed that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then she kind of went into a little bit about like Rachel. Because again, some of her comments on her posts were like, people were like, hey, like, is Rachel getting paid for this? Like, what's going on? And she was like, stay tuned. But then on this podcast episode, she said, look, whether I did or whether I didn't, like, how do you know, like, what I did? And I'm just like, okay, so, but then you're saying stay tuned. So I have a feeling this will not be the last podcast, of course, about this topic. I don't know what she's going to say about it, but it's a hot mess.
I wonder if she's going to start rewatching Vanderpump Rules and then,
oh my gosh,
recapping it on her Rewives podcast. Can you imagine?
Oh, I can now that you say that. Yeah, I can see that.
God, that would be insufferable. So I've kind of broken it down a little bit into like the heavy hitting points. I got to say, I didn't like part one very much. I kind of came out of part one like, really glad to know that there was a part two and three, because I felt like part one was just exceptionally. First of all, she's the worst interviewer of all time. Like, yes. I think even though she didn't watch the show, which is like, I can give a pass for Howie Mandel, but I just can't for you, Bethany. You know that there is context to this that you're supposed to know about. Like, this is stupid. But she gets into the first part and she really doesn't know anything. And so she's asking these really redundant questions of Raquel and like spending time on just bullshit and things that the internet has already hashed out. So I wasn't really a fan of part one. What did you think after you got over the initial shock of Rachel putting out an interview?
I thought part one started out really good. I thought listening to it, I thought Rachel sounded like clear-headed. I thought she sounded well. I thought she started it, I'm looking at my notes too, like she started it with saying how like she wanted to go to treatment to understand her behaviors, and like her goal was to really get to the bottom of why like she chooses men that are unavailable, or like the men that she chooses. I was like, this is great.
Yes.
Like, let's talk about like, what drew you to James? What about like Sandoval? Like, I love that you went to treatment for those goals in mind.
Yeah.
And then it kind of all went downhill from there.
Yeah.
Because I really, again, Bethany did no research. I didn't need to know again about this whole like her name, going through that again. As far as like, I was in first grade. I wanted to be called Raquel. She has said this multiple times. Like,
yes.
Again, Bethany, do your research. Like, she could have just been like, you know, I noticed like you are going by Rachel now, so therefore I will be calling you Rachel. Boom.
Done.
Yeah. I liked a little tidbit about Rachel saying, you know, how the little exercise she did in treatment, like writing her name. Like, again, like, I don't mind like hearing that stuff. But and then, yeah, it was. I'm looking at my notes, like, even when she talked about, like, Rachel's family, like, is she close to her? There could have been so many other questions, because, like, one thing that I'd really like to know is, like, her family seems to have so much control, like, over her life. Like, could we maybe, like, get into that a little bit in, like, a respectable way? Like, but no, it was just such baseline questions to get to what Bethany wanted. It really wasn't like Rachel. I still left it not really still knowing Rachel. Like, I don't. Like, that is the thing. So, like, you can say all you want that this was Rachel's voice and her time to shine. This is for her to get her story out. I still have more questions. Like,
yeah.
And that is not, I don't really blame Rachel for that. I blame Bethany. So,
yes.
They're part one really didn't do it for me. If you were to take the beginning of the part one and then part two, the really meat of it with all the standable stuff, and then kind of end it with some parts of three, I think, and without Bethany, really could have been a solid interview. But yeah, part one, I liked it. I liked the beginning. I thought it started out strong and then it went downhill.
Well, I think what you said is really interesting, that it could have been a really good interview. There's been a lot of feedback, a lot of backlash from the internet. This was a flop and this was the worst decision she could have ever made. And you know, very hyperbolic language. And I think what's driving me crazy is that there's actually some really interesting stuff in this interview that I want to get into that Bethany just didn't. And, you know, like about her family, one of the first things that Rachel says is that her mom is a really big fan. And and of course, Bethany's like, oh, well, of course, you know, she doesn't really get into it. But I'm thinking with what we have been led to believe about Rachel's parents, and that I kind of have a picture of them of, because people keep saying that because they're pageant, because her mom wanted her in pageants, that she like wants fame. And I see that really differently. I think that pageant moms often want to put on a show and want to show their kids off as a trophy for them. Not all the time, because I don't like to say bad shit about pageants like overall, because it's not always a bad experience. A lot of people get a lot of great stuff from them. Yeah. But from what I'm gleaning from this about her mom, I think that I get a lot of like Southern vibes, kind of like you were saying. She, I don't know if you said this before we started recording, but like, you don't really talk about your feelings. You don't really talk about the dark stuff that goes on or anything that you go through. You just kind of put on a smile and you power through it. And that's what pageant people do. And you don't air your dirty laundry. You don't show the unpolished side of you. And reality television is a venue that has the ability to bring out the worst in you. And so Bethany, I don't think that her parents watch, but her being Rachel's parents, watch reality TV. Bethany has been on this, you know, kick about unionizing reality television and all of that. And I'm just thinking, not to project, but I'm just thinking of like, if my mom were in that situation, someone who looks down on reality television, you know, someone who's protective of me. And then she saw this woman who's like speaking out and saying like, oh, it's the show, it's the environment, they manipulate people. And I believe that there's truth to it. But anyway, her saying that her mom is a big fan, I'm like, that's really interesting, because is that the reason? Is this the only one that Rachel was maybe allowed to do? Is this like, you know, one of the only ones that she was encouraged to do from the people she only has? Her support is kind of limited, it seems, right now. So maybe that's why we got Bethany. And it makes me more mad at Bethany. Sorry to rant.
No, you're good. And I messaged you when this dropped, and I was like, you cannot tell me that before this interview, Rachel knew who Bethany Frankel was.
Yes, I'm sorry. Did. Yeah.
I don't buy it. I think even her mom, I don't get a vibe that her mom is a big reality TV person. I also don't. Again, I know nothing about her family still. So but I don't get that with her. I think with all that's happening, they came across her TikToks. They liked what she had to say. And I have no doubt, because you will see even throughout the interview, there are times when Rachel catches herself and she will say, we think. And then she goes, I think.
Yes.
So I think her parents are in her ear. I think her parents said, you will do this interview. In this interview only, like, you will do it with Bethany, because Bethany has an agenda, and she has like, because there could have been so many other follow-up questions that Bethany could have asked Rachel in clarifying questions, but she didn't do that, because what Rachel would say, she's like, ah, yes, that hits my narrative. That hits my narrative. Even like, I'm sure we'll get into it, but like part two, like there are a lot of times where I'll give Rachel this, like, she would say she thought something, but Bethany, I feel like, tried to, like, she didn't ask any clarifying questions because she wanted people to think that as a fact.
Yes.
Whereas, like, it was very much Rachel saying, I think this is what happened, or Tom Sandoval told me this. Yes. Well, instead of Bethany being like, well, we know Sandoval is a liar. Like, do you really think, you know, do you really believe that? Right. So there's just still, again, if Bethany, okay, you don't watch the show, fine. But, like, yeah, you could have did so much research, or have your intern do, like, yeah, so much more research. And this could have potentially been, like, a really good interview. Because guess what? People were starting to, like, get on Rachel's side a little bit.
Yep.
Before, when she came out of treatment, I was seeing more of, like, people being like, I'm kind of tired of, like, the other cast right now. Like,
yes,
I, like, Rachel, she's, like, photographed, like, going grocery shopping. They're just like, leave her alone. She's not on the show. It was very much like in her, I think it was more in her favor. And then this just happened. And again, Bethany didn't want to lead any way of Rachel taking, like, really any, like, accountability on still some things. Because that wasn't Bethany, like, that's not the narrative that Bethany wants to have right now.
Right.
Like, it just, right. Yeah, sorry, but that's my tangent.
No, you're fine. And you're totally right. There's a lot of, like, even questions that just seem like human questions to ask. Like, mm-hmm, was it difficult to make the decision to go into treatment? What was that like for your family? Is it weird to talk about now?
Right.
Those are all questions that I would want to hear. And some of the, I know that people, first of all, the most trash thing I've seen on the internet is people claiming that she never went to any kind of treatment, and then, like, claiming it truly as if they know.
Right.
And then I just feel really strongly about all of that. And mm-hmm, so just knowing that she went, there's a lot of verbiage that she uses. And you mentioned some of it earlier that sounds like she's been, there's some steps that she's taking. She has some actionable things that she's working on. When she starts later on, she talks about shame and the different kinds of shame that you feel and how that affects you. And, like, that's something that people just say off the cuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's clear that she's right, done a little something. And so it's really frustrating to, it's just frustrating that that wasn't delved into more, because that would have made for really, I want to hear about that. I want to hear about her treatment. I want to hear, anyway, God, sorry. This is, guys, no, it's just like one big rant fest.
Well, and I mentioned this earlier, and you brought it up, like, before we started recording, that I get this feeling that, and I, again, I don't know, I'm just looking at what's been presented to us, and I see Rachel, and I see someone who maybe when they were younger, or as they've gotten older, have been told to, like, shield their emotions, have been told to, like, you know, and I think she's even mentioned before that she, like, gets uncomfortable, like, crying in front of others. Like, so
yes.
So when she says things like Ariana, like how Ariana reacted to her at the reunion, which I've said this many times, I do not fault Ariana for those feelings. I don't know what I would have done in that situation.
No.
It would not have been kind, because that had just happened.
Yeah.
But we've seen it before on Vanderpump, where people were coming up to Rachel and saying, like, James is cheating on you, or, like, any of these things. There were a couple times where we saw a little bit of emotions from her, but a lot of times it was very just like, what do you mean, like, James is cheating on me? Like, it was very, like, not a lot was there. And I don't think that means she doesn't have emotions.
Right.
I think that just means she has been told to kind of keep them at bay. Also, when you're with someone like James, who is so intense with his emotions,
mm-hmm,
I've been in situations like that where you kind of turn into a shell.
Yes.
So because how you react could trigger their reactions. Again, right, this isn't what I see, obviously don't know, but it just, so I would love if Bethany also, like, did research or watch this show and be like, hey, like, we've seen you, like, you seem to like you've been in treatment and you're starting to kind of figure out your behaviors, your patterns, your thoughts and feelings. How has that been? Like, do you feel like you're on your way to being able to express your feelings more to people?
Right.
I would love to know where Rachel's headspace is there, because I don't think she's there yet as far as like really getting, you know what I mean, doing that stuff.
And it's interesting because watching it, I thought two things. One, I miss her. She is fascinating to me. I love watching her, the way that she, all of, to me, she is not someone that is without emotion. She is, like you said, someone who is brimming with emotion and constantly trying to fight it down. And so like the like almost like she almost every time she laughs, she's almost also about to burst into tears. So from what I see, and I'm not an expert, but I, you know, working in behavioral health and behavioral crises with children for several years, you are taught how to recognize like certain facial expressions and you know, body movements that could be a precursor to some sort of explosive behavior. And I don't know, I can tell that she's not emotionless. She's just like not, like you said, not super comfortable being true to whatever she's feeling, is how I interpret it.
And anytime she's about to, she laughs, it seems like. Like, there are a few times during the interview where she said things and then she would laugh.
Yep.
So, and I think it's very easy to take that as like her not taking things seriously. But like, I know sometimes like I can laugh when I'm uncomfortable, or I can like make a joke out of something when I don't really want to feel things. So like, I don't, to me, like, I do see there is like, there is emotions in her. But I think she has a long way to go as far as like being able to comfortably let them out.
Yeah. Just guys, just so you all know, you won't be seeing this on video, but I am reading as we speak. I am reading Lindsay's recaps of the podcast so that we can stay on track. And so, Lindsay, I wanted you to know I'm just reading what you already wrote. I'm not paying attention.
Oh, yeah, I have my notes down here as well.
Okay, great. So then we kind of get into this, the big hitter conversations that people really latched onto from part one, which I was so fucking annoyed by. The semantics around best friendship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just never thought for real that Ariana and Rachel were best friends, right? I just never actually thought that. And I thought that it was interesting when the reunion came about that Ariana, even in the finale, she has never called Rachel her best friend ever. Okay. Yeah, but she has referred to her as a friend. That doesn't take away. And God, Bethany, for all of the blabbing on about it that she did, she didn't even dive into something that would actually make a good point for her and her cause, which is the media hype and the framing of best friend. She kind of mentioned it, but it was meant to like make it more salacious, and how that benefited Bravo. And if Bethany had watched the show, then she might be able to say, yeah, Ariana really never did call you her best friend. And then when Tom brings you up in that finale, in that first scene of the finale episode, she goes, I don't give a fuck about Rachel. Like, I think she meant that to an extent, you know? I think that was clear. And then when she goes on her monologue about all the things that were said to Rachel, you know, this would be a good time to be like, how does it feel for someone that everyone considers? Do you think that a best friend would say things like that to you? Sheena didn't talk to you like that, you know? Like, things that would make sense to bring up in the context. And she just, Bethany, you just never got there. It was very frustrating. What did you feel about all of the semantics play there?
I think, look, friend, best friend, acquaintance. Someone made a really good point on Instagram. Like, Ariana is still human. So, like, this was still a situation that did hurt someone. Do I think, like, and again, I'm someone, I don't know any of these people. What I'm just, like, watching and observing. I think that Ariana and Rachel, like, I think they were friends. I think, but you do, I do have to wonder, because when you would look at pictures on Rachel's, like, Instagram, or if you go from the show, and Rachel said, like, they didn't ever hang out one-on-one.
Yes.
And here's the thing. They very well could have, and maybe Ariana, like, in her head is thinking of incidents, but from what we've seen, and even the photos that she had posted with Ariana on her Instagram, it was like one was at her engagement party. So yep. There's a group of people.
Yep.
There were a few at like Coachella,
yep.
A concert. So like what Rachel meant. Yeah. So what Rachel meant is like, we didn't go shopping one-on-one together. And they probably didn't. But this, again, could have been a great opportunity, but it doesn't fit Bethany's, like, what she's going for. But it could have been a great thing for Bethany to be like, okay, so, like, it was kind of fans or whatever you want to call it, the media putting this term best friends on it to make it seem, I guess, a bigger deal. Even though to me, again, Ariana's a person and it was your friend. It is someone in the friend group. It's for... There's the line, the how long it went. That is like the main things for me. But then she could have talked about like Ariana and her like friendship and how Rachel really like viewed that, or even like more details like about that. Or again, in that moment, like I do wish that Rachel would take more accountability at that moment of like, you know, she wasn't my best friend. But obviously, wow. Like, Ariana is still human, so I shouldn't have did this.
Yes.
And so, but the direction wasn't really, like, going that way. It was Bethany saw this, like, oh, you guys were best friends? Oh, there it is. Bravo wants you to think they were to make this a bigger deal than what it was. When, no, like, I think we, as an audience, kind of see, like, oh, yeah, they were best friends. They were best friends. And... It doesn't, like, that is just best friends, friends, acquaintances. Like, again, that's not really the meat of this thing I've never thought of. As far as, like, the big thing that made this a scandal is that it was a best friend. No, well, it was her friends and, you know, all the other stuff that's happened.
I do think, again, if this had been clarified in the interview, that would have been tight, but she didn't.
Right.
A lot of the hate, a lot of the things that people have said have been, well, what makes this so different from all of the other cheating in the cast? And the answer oftentimes is, well, it wasn't with the best friend. Well, except for with Kristen. But Kristen and Jax and Stassi, the timeline is blurry, you know? So
You're right. Yep.
That is where the best friend thing comes into play, because people keep acting like they were like so tight, and they probably were like very cool. But then another thing is that they were, and this comes into the recent drama surrounding the filming right now, is they were work friends. And yet another thing that Bethany could have probably expounded on, and it would have benefited her narrative, but she didn't, because she's bad at this. She's really bad at it.
Right.
Sorry, that was a crazy sound. She exhausts me.
Same.
But then she kind of gets into a conversation about Sheena. I found this interesting because, you know, I'm going to go to bat for Sheena every time, no matter what's going on. Rachel was trying to say, like, she was like, so Ariana and I were cool, but me and Sheena, we were legitimately best friends. And
yeah,
that seems to be quite true from everything that we've seen. But then she's still very salty over that situation. That's clear, because she was like, I mean, yeah, she gave me the house to babysit, but, you know, I went on her podcast and I babysit her cat who was being pumped full of mercury. And so she... I was like, yo, there's a couple of animal moments here that I want to like stop and be like, can we dive into this? But Bethany doesn't do it. What do you mean nope. the cow is being pumped full of mercury? What is that about? Do I have to Google it? That sucks. I don't want to do that. Just ask her. God. And then she says, you know, she went on the podcast and it was like one of the top, you know, downloaded podcasts that Sheena got. And Bethany, who I think knows how ad revenue on podcasts and downloads and all of this works, had an opportunity to maybe just objectively say, well, to be fair, doesn't make that much, you know, you have to hit a certain lot of numbers, like a lot of numbers, probably numbers that Bethany's getting from her interview, to make a shit ton of money that equate to the certain things that Raquel's trying to line up. So, but she didn't do that. So,
well, no. And also, it's interesting that you say, because Rachel, very much her first sentence was like, so Sheena was one of my best friends. Like, she said that. And then you're right, there must be some saltiness still there, because then she directed it to, well, you know, like, I was on her podcast. So, like, it went really well. And so then Bethany was like, oh, seriously, it's like a quid pro quo. It was a mutual beneficial relationship within a television show. Yeah. However, I would have went back and been like, but wait a minute, you said that she actually was one of your best friends. So it sounds like to me, you guys were friends on the show and off the show. So tell me more about that. But Bethany didn't want to do that because we can't have that narrative of these people can also be friends off the show. We have to be like, oh, they're only friends on the show.
Exactly.
I would have loved to hear that. But once Rachel started going off her tangent about the podcast, Bethany was like, ding, ding, ding. You guys had a relationship where like, I do this for you. You do that for me. Whereas like, I actually think, and I think Sheena would say this too, that they really did have an authentic friendship.
Yeah.
And I think Sheena did a lot for her. Because Sheena, we've seen Sheena, she does that for people. And I think Rachel, like, also, like, I'm sure did stuff for Sheena, too. But again, Bethany, that would have been a great thing to elaborate on, but that wasn't part of Bethany's narrative, once again.
It really wasn't. And I also wanted to comment, when she's talking about Sheena, she's like, she likes to say that she was like a mother to me, like a big sister. And she was, and I'm like, yeah, have you met Sheena? This is Sheena's thing. This is how she feels like with everybody in her life. She does this every time. Like, I don't know, like, you're surprised that she says this stuff about you. It was like she was implying that she's only saying that now to get sympathy or something. But I'm like, I mean, the only thing that would like bring me to a point of allegedly, definitely, who knows, punching somebody is if I had a lot of love for them at one point and I felt really betrayed by them, you know?
Yeah, and I almost wondered too if that, again, if I was Bethany, I'd be like, did you have that feeling of like she trying to mother you and be your big sister, or did your mom tell you like mm-hmm. that was what, you know, Sheena was trying to do? Because again, I still, a part of me still doesn't know what's is Rachel's like true feelings and thoughts and what people are like telling her. Because not that I would say it to this extreme, but like when Ariana at the reunion was like, you've never had like an original thought, again, would not say it that extreme.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, but I also don't fault her for saying that, but like, I do wonder, like, is this really like what you're thinking and like what you're feeling, or like,
yeah.
Are there other really powerful influences in your life? And again, that does not, I'm not trying to like say like that this still isn't, as far as like Rachel's like behaviors, saying that behaviors and stuff, like that is still like on Rachel. But like when she says stuff like that, like, you know, Sheena is out there saying like she has been like a mother to me, like a sister I've never had. If I was Bethany, I'd be like, you know, is that really what you've like thought throughout this, or at the time didn't feel like Sheena really cared about you and was right. like there for you? But of course, we don't want to actually talk about authentic relationships that Rachel's had.
No, we don't want to talk about anything, certainly nothing interesting or too, you know, actually revealing. So then we kind of transition into part two, and Rachel's, she says pretty firmly, she's like, I'm not laughing. It's not funny. It's just like,
I know.
There's just some of this is like, yeah, if you watch the reunion, the way that these people were acting, it seems like maybe somebody punched somebody in the face. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. It just feels very strongly like that.
Yep.
And, you know, and I don't, it's not that I don't care, but it's just like, anyway, whatever. Rachel says that Sheena punched her in the face. She says that she has a permanent scar on her eyebrow because Sheena like pushed her into a wall. And then I think she said socked her in the face. Socked or clocked?
She did, yep.
Socked,
yep.
Okay.
Socked, yep.
Socked. And then weird, this is like weird. She goes, and she threw my phone in the gutter. And I was like, oh, it's a new phone. I hope it's not cracked. I was like, girl.
No, those are the moments where you're just like, what?
And it kind of lines up, though. Like, it lines up with what Sheena has said, that Raquel just kind of like came out with it when she was on the phone. She was like, I've been sleeping with Tom for, she was like, it was very like monotone. It wasn't, you know, and then like, I don't know. It all kind of adds up, but it's odd for sure. She's an odd bird, but I, you know, find her intriguing nonetheless.
Right.
So she says this and she says, I'm going to literally read your quote here from your recap. Rachel says, so it's just nuts that she's doubled down on this narrative that I'm a liar and a cheat and that I completely fabricated this assault for whatever reason. I don't think that filing a restraining order was out of the question because she was making this like punch emoji on a post that she made with Ariana saying I always got your back. And it just, I didn't feel safe. So it's unfortunate that I've been, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me how I can be assaulted and then have so much vitriol. And I think, and Bethany goes, and still be the villain. And she goes, yeah. And Bethany goes, did you sign up for this? Everyone will say you signed up for this. Everyone knows that what they are getting into when they've seen the show. And then Rachel makes a joke, deflecting maybe, but she makes a joke. You know what, Bethany? I really thought reality TV was going to be fun. And like, I kind of laughed. Yeah. I was like, that was kind of funny. But can we get back to the assault for a second, Rach? Because, like, that was, I just, am I tripping? Did they go back to that at all? Because I think that was pretty much it. And that was huge.
Yes, she could have dived in so much about, like, because, and I've read other people's, like, think this too. There's a lot of people that have always had this thought that Sheena allegedly punched her.
Right.
And Rachel's words socked her. I've always been of the belief, like, and Sheena admitted, like, there was a push. I do remember Sheena posting the punch emoji on her story. I do think that emotions were high. No, violence is never the answer. I think emotions were high. I think how Rachel reacted, Sheena wasn't expecting that. I do think that a punch allegedly happened. Yes. I don't know what kind of punch. I don't, you know what I mean, as far as like all of that. But so Rachel saying that, let's spend some time on that. Let's talk about like, so like when that happened, because there's this narrative out there that, and I believe Sheena said that Sandoval told her that it was her parents that made her get the restraining order. Like, let's talk about that. Like, how did you get to the point of filing a police report? Like, what made you decide? And then what made you decide to like not go through with it? Did you realize that like Sheena was just heated and it happened in the moment? And no, I didn't deserve that, but I know that Sheena isn't going to physically harm me again. Right, because like she put out, Rachel said that she was scared that Sheena was going to do it again by, you know, the punch emoji that she put out and other things that she was saying. Okay, if that is how you feel or felt, okay, But then I would love to know how we got from point A to point B. Like, what happened from there to the reunion? Because obviously a lot happened. And then what happened from the reunion to the court date? Because you didn't go to court.
You didn't go. Right? Yeah.
So, like, what happened? But, again, it's almost like Bethany wants this narrative of, like, oh, this happened. And, like, Bravo tried to, like, cover it. You know what I mean? Like, cover it all up or doesn't want you to know. Like, no.
Yeah.
That's not like what happened in this situation. In this situation, right. There was a temporary restraining order in place that you filed, but we don't know what led to your thinking at that point, and then what it didn't go any further. I would have loved to know more of that.
She does say at one point that, and I think it's in her little, or when she's explaining the punch with Sheena, and she does say, you know, at the time I felt like I deserved it. And then she kind of tapers off into saying, like, I know now that no one deserves to be assaulted, which is true.
Yeah,
you know, and again, for people saying that she didn't go to therapy, I'm like, I don't know that, you know, being able to say that you don't think that you deserved physical altercation sounds like something someone who just went to therapy or went through treatment would say, in my opinion.
Yeah. Are people still saying? Are people still saying that she didn't go to therapy? Like, people are still believing
yes.
that?
Wow. People are still, they're like, they're saying that she really, like, either that she didn't go as long as she said that she was, or that there's something, you know, just trying to, like, plant seeds of doubt. Like, there's something sketchy about the price. Like, so she's exaggerating the price of the place. And I'm like, I actually.
Newsflash.
But, happen to know they're quite expensive, unfortunately. Like, they are.
Same. And yeah, that is, unfortunately, I know we probably hate to hear that, but that is the reality mm-hmm. of prices when it comes to it. It is a very privilege to be able to go to places like that or to really, well, really any treatment in America because of how prices are. Like, that is the sad reality. That hearing the price of treatment, that did not surprise me at all.
At all. Me either. But people just want to discredit her at every turn. So
that's wild. There's so many other things that we actually could discredit her on. But I do fully believe the girl wants a therapy. Let's give her that. Let's give her that.
Please. God, if nothing else. Okay. So then I guess it switches. Bethany kind of transitions to the tape. Mm-hmm. Bethany had me literally yelling at the car with a couple of things that she said. At one point she goes, was it graphic? I was like, did you not?
I know.
You said what it was. You know that it was. Why would you say that? Dummy.
I know. And I think Rachel said something like, I mean, it's not something I want my grandma to see.
Yes. Like, yes, girl, it was graphic. And so then Bethany actually asks a pretty, I would say, astute question considering everything else. She says, how did Rachel feel that someone she thought she was in love with recorded her and it ended up on a TV show? Again, recorded her and it ended up on a TV show or recorded her without her permission.
Right.
And then said one of the maybe most grotesque things, like, I just wanted you to see later how beautiful you were. Like, that makes me
vomit.
Want to absolutely die.
Yes. Die. Yes. I literally, like, that, first of all, I 100% believe that Sandoval said that.
Oh,
that
yeah.
is something he would say. That
ugh.
I makes me want to vomit. And this would have been a great time for Bethany to, first of all, ask if Rachel was truly comfortable talking about the stuff, and then to engage from there and be like, it came out in the news that there was this recording and it came out that Tom had recorded without your consent. And there was worry about this tape getting out and being distributed among the friendship. However, we saw the show and nothing was said about it. So can you tell me, because the podcast Reality Bites, they talked really about this because they had a good segment on, like, when And especially if Rachel say, like, at the apartment, right? If she said on filming, like, why did you record me, or why did you do this without my consent?
Right.
You would think that would have automatically triggered either some kind of investigation, or they would have asked Rachel, hey, Jeremy talked to her about it. And probably at that time, she did not want to pursue anything. Because again, Sandoval was the only person that she had.
Yeah.
So like, as far as this narrative of like, why hasn't Rachel done anything? Like, why isn't she pressing charges? This 2023, we know like why people don't go down that route. And especially in this case, like, she was still very much in the heat of it, right? This was her only person. Everyone else in that moment, she felt like hated her. And he was the only one that was still talking to her. So as far as like, backtrack, like, Bethany, again, asking her, like, kind of what happened from when that news came out to then you guys are filming that scene after he admitted that. What happened? Because here's the thing, she could have asked that and I still maybe could have went on Bethany's narrative, right? Maybe Rachel would have said, like, they didn't ask me about it. They did nothing. Like, I would have loved to know when Tom said that, what happened? And it came out in the news that Tom had a hissy fit, right? About that scene.
Yep.
That came out. So like, we know, but people were alleging that that was about maybe a kiss. Like, maybe they kissed or something. And then that looked bad.
Well, we didn't know that, though.
No, that's the thing. Didn't know.
We don't know that it happened at all, except there were pictures that, like, corroborated him, like, being there at some point, leaving, and then coming back later with no cameras, right?
Yeah.
And then we see how he acted at the filming of the reunion. So it's not a stretch to say that he had a hissy fit and said he wasn't going to film. And actually, I always thought it was super weird that he threw a fit about them kissing on camera or not or whatever. I was always like, that doesn't seem like something you wouldn't like. What is the reason, though, that you wouldn't?
Yes.
That you would like want to stop filming for that? And what Rachel is saying makes a lot more sense, that he would be like, well, it wasn't like that, bro. I wasn't like trying to hurt you. I just wanted to show you how beautiful you were. Like, that is what happened, allegedly, goddamn. Like, it makes so much sense. And again, Bethany not having the context for this really was a detriment to the conversation, because that is what she didn't even. If she was aware of what was going on, I would have asked, oh, well, the rumor was that he had a fit because of you guys kissing on camera.
Yes.
And then Rachel could dispel that rumor, because, and something that I want to get into at some point, is my theory in my heart of what is going on with her, with Rachel, and with this group of people. Is, and I can't remember if I talked about it in our episode, but I've talked about it before, that Rachel was sold a reality television star life and was sold to be a character. And at some point, Bethany's like, people treat you like characters and like you're not real people. And I'm like, well, actually, I think that Rachel thinks that she was a character. And I think that this is a really deceitful group of people. And I think that there was a lot of manipulating. I think that there was a lot going on behind the scenes that gives a lot of context to maybe some of Rachel's actions that we don't know about. And I believe Rachel when she says that she thought that Tom and Ariana were broken up. Not to give too much credence to Tom, but it's stuff that's been said between the cast members and all of these things that we've listened to and consumed, that there was a point of turmoil in Tom and Ariana's relationship where they basically hated each other. And that doesn't mean that he should cheat, right? But I can see a world where Rachel is like, well, they're not really together. They're just kind of putting it on for the show, that, you know, whatever she wants to, that you know, whatever she wants to trick herself into believing, right? And so,
and I'm sure Sandoval was telling her those things too. I have no 100%. Doubt Sandoval was saying that.
And when she, and honestly, I think that all of them did to an extent. Sheena, Lala, him, James. I think that they all said a lot of like, well, this isn't really real. Like, I'm sure James went on more than one tangent in their time of what he really thought about Ariana and Tom's relationship or what's really going on. I'm sure that she's seen a lot of things that are portrayed one way and the reality is very different. That's not to say it's scripted. That's not to, I just see, it's just to say these people are kind of deceitful. They're liars. So I can see how getting wrapped up in that can get really, really touchy, really complicated. And Bethany could have used that to her advantage, and she didn't. And she didn't.
Well, she doesn't. Oh my gosh. You think Bethany knows how Jax has like called out Jax used to all the time, and he still to this day will call out and even say, make comments about how Tom and Ariana didn't show their real relationship on TV. I believe Lala has also made comments like
she
that.
Has.
And I also, right. And I also, I know Ariana has said, like, well, you guys don't know, like, our real relationship, because Ariana has made it sound like, you know, her and Lala are basically like friends on the show, is how, yes, like, she's made comments. So, like, I understand that. Like, maybe they're only seeing like one thing, and then maybe sometimes they'll see them off camera and they see them fight and they're like, well, you don't do that on camera, you know?
Right.
So, like, I think it is like, I think it is layered. I am on the thought of, I think Sandoval was, I mean, we already know, or allegedly he said the whole, I filmed you because I wanted you to see how beautiful you are. We know he probably says a lot of shit. So like, I could see him telling her things like, we're a brand, we're roommates, we're this, we're that. And I can understand Rachel telling herself that that's true and believing it. But I also think, like, and again, Bethany went and questioned this. Okay, Rachel, I can understand you had this idea in your head, but when you actually fully, and we saw this on season 10, fully asked Ariana about you and Tom's relationship, and she told you, you know, like, I love him, like, oh my gosh, like, I think he saw all of that. Did you really believe Ariana in that moment, or did you just think she was saying that for camera?
Yeah.
Ask that question.
Yeah, I think that's a great question.
I would have loved to know her answer. I would have loved for her to be like, no, I didn't buy it.
Yeah.
Or no, like, I was so confused because Tom told me that that wasn't the case. Like, or even that moment that we saw, you know, when it came out that Tom and Sandoval had just been like having sex whenever. And it sounds like he was telling Rachel like they weren't having sex. Again, just those moments, like, you could have asked about. I still would have loved to know, like, if Rachel's head's like meant to, I, you know, if Rachel would have just been like, you know what, I didn't even give a fuck at that point.
Yeah.
Like, I was so in love with Tom, I didn't care about Ariana. Like, you know, like, even if she would have said that, like, say something more say about something. It. But Bethany didn't. But Bethany didn't ask those questions. So why did she have to say something? Like,
right.
I'll give her that. No, she didn't.
There's also, and I really want to skip over this because I just don't really care. I think it's pretty clear. The whole Tom producer thing, to me sounds pretty straightforward. He told Raquel that he was going to get a producer credit, and I think he was lying or making up ideas of grandeur in his head about something that he was probably never going to get. Or like they said in the Reality Bites podcast, he was being placated because he was acting like a big dumb baby and they needed him to shut up and keep filming, you know?
That, yeah. And I think that's something very much to point out that Rachel in that interview, she said like, that is what Sandoval told her. I really wish Bethany would have asked a clarifying question. So like, so that's what he told you, but you obviously don't know if that's what happened.
Right.
Because then what is this narrative that's put out in the news? Tom gets a producer credit or season 11.
Yep.
Rachel says, no, Rachel, I will give Rachel credit where it's due. She said, this is what Tom told me. again, any of us can be like, oh, I have no doubt he told you. I also have no doubt that's a lie.
Yeah, so like, totally.
You, so her thinking that, and it sounds to me that like Rachel like really does believe the shit that these men tell her.
Yes.
It's kind of, it's interesting. She kind of seems to question more the like women, like,
yes,
especially like with Jeremy, with James and cheating stuff. Mm-hmm. She didn't ever question him too hard from what we see, or even Sandoval didn't really question him too hard. So that would have been lovely to dive into that. But
yes,
we won't do that, Bethany. But it's again, like Bethany could have been like, so that's something he told you. But we obviously like don't know if that's true. And even Bethany, you know, that's not true. You yeah. know, they did not do that.
Like, you're oh God, she. Yes, correct. She knows that that was not the case. That was, I don't have words because you're just 100% right. Bethany is, if she's been in the business as long as she has, and she has insider baseball, which was a weird phrase that she used. Cause that's not how you say it. You say that you have whatever. She knows that that man didn't get a damn credit, but maybe she doesn't because she doesn't watch the show and she doesn't even know who he is. So who knows?
That is true. She didn't even know if he owned a bar. So
really didn't know anything. There's some Lisa Vanderpump stuff here. I kind of want to get to that a little later because at the end, Rachel talks about Lisa and her having a conversation. I want to skip quickly to a lot of what I found to be the most intriguing about episode two was around Kristen. Yes. We actually talked about this on our last episode together. I'd love to talk to you about this because, and you know what? I'm going to pull it up. So our episode was on June 18th, right? And yep. I remember it was around then that some allegations were made by an Instagram account that James was physically abusive to Kristen in their relationship. And Kristen seemingly confirmed it by commenting on this Instagram creator's post saying, I think that she said, I stand by whatever I told this creator. And yep. so it really did. It was, I mean, kind of close to that time. And it was starting to come out. I, unfortunately, at the time, was paying for Dana Wilkie's Patreon, which was really weird of me. And so
I love
Dana actually had that content creator's sister on because they're both in Hollywood, like producers to some extent. So she had mm-hmm. the sister on because the sister of this content creator that confirmed about Kristen was for a time one of Rachel's pageant coaches and knew her mom. So it all kind of worked together. There really wasn't all that much interesting information in that podcast about Rachel and her mom, except that they were always willing to work and they were really nice to work with. And yep. she didn't get any weirder vibes from Rachel's pageant mom than any other pageant mom. But she was definitely a pageant mom. That's basically the whole episode.
Right.
But she mentions in this episode that she believes her friend's sister, based on this being kind of a thing that happened in real time, that Kristen had confided in this person and had to stay at this person's house or contacted her to not stay at her own house because she was trying to get away from her relationship. She also mentions this in her book, and it started going around and circulating on the internet again that there was a relationship that she was in that had domestic abuse, and it doesn't say explicitly who it was with, but it would seem, if you're putting together the pieces, that she was talking about James. Now, that's alleged. We don't know. She has not outright come out and said it. She has really strongly alluded to it. And she was saying at that time and on her podcast for a couple of months that there was something about James that was going to come out and it was going to be dark and it was going to blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, let's see. I can kind of check the time. So I had that interview or conversation with you on June 18th. By July 3rd was my next episode that I did with Kaya and Aaron of Bravo We're Black. And that week the news broke that the spinoff was definitely happening. And so, does it make sense that they would have that it would be like Hush? Not really. That doesn't really make sense to me. Like, why would the spinoff be Hush Money or whatever for Kristen? But the timeline definitely adds up because I was on the case, okay? I was reading the news. There was a lot of stuff that was coming out, and it was starting to come out kind of rapidly. And the timeline just matches up. Now, Rachel was in treatment at the time, so who knows what she did or didn't know about what was going around. But I wanted to know what you thought, because that was something that we discussed.
I know we did. And this whole topic, it seems to get a little traction, but then it kind of like goes away. Because again, I think this narrative of like James being the funny guy, or James isn't that person anymore. So lots of thoughts. Kristen, it is a very like tricky subject because Kristen, first of all, hang on, let me back up. The whole Hush Money thing, obviously, like usually with these shows, they can take years to like develop. So I'm sure like, we actually know Vanderpump Valley, right, was actually supposed to be
for
the original
years.
Like spinoff. Yeah. And it was supposed to have like Stassi and like all of them and like their family life. So that, and then everything happened. So it did seem like she was like talking more about this. If you read her book does seem to go in like relationship order. So like mm-hmm. that chapter that is allegedly about James, what people think is about James. Mm-hmm. You read it and you're like, oh, this does really seem like it is about James. However, Kristen has never came out and said this chapter is about James.
Right.
However, Kristen cannot do that, especially in our world. Kristen is, because once she says that, James could come after her. It would be a whole court thing. And they might not be in that place to do that. Who right. is? I can't imagine like stuff that I've been through. Having to be in that position to like have to defend yourself and say like this person did that to me and someone questioned you over and over. I can't. Like anyone who has actually been through that fight, like my heart goes out to you because that is horrible. So, but Kristen was giving like little hints of like something happened. Like I'm not a count. She said something about Bravo. Maybe like covering things up, like she told Bravo about, because her whole thing was like that wedding scene that we saw, right? Was it Sheena's wedding?
Yes.
We saw her punch James, but she alleged, like, she said this on the Good Guys podcast. What do you think happened before that? Now, again, not saying like Kristen should have punched him, but there is a thing called being, and I said this on our first, like, podcast we did together, there's a thing called being reactive. There's only so much a person can take in that situation. So from my understanding of what she has alleged, that he like pushed her into a bush, would not let her leave, was in her face. You know what I mean? So like, and then what did we see on the show? We saw her punch him.
Well, we did see him in her face, by the way. I just want to say.
You're right. We did see that. You're absolutely right.
He's following her, and I'm just saying for context, like he's following her. He's in her face. She's asking him. She asks him several times to get away from her. And then she socks him. Rachel is so silly with that. But like, so it's just, and then the allegation of tricky editing, and then it's coming up again. And then Kristen, after this happens, after this interview with Bethany that Rachel does, kind of goes on her Instagram and kind of backs Rachel up.
She does.
And then Rachel reposts it, which is like, girl, put the phone down. You don't need to repost that. Just relax. But she did. She reposted it. Fine by me. And I don't know what to say, man. I think that there is something sketch about it, but I just don't know. I don't know that Vanderpump Valley has anything to do with it.
Yeah, I don't either.
But
I don't either.
or maybe this is everything about to come out of my mouth is a conspiracy theory alleged, and I have absolutely no proof of this, okay? Maybe it was more so Kristen was willing and wanting to do the Vanderpump Valley. She had signed for it and started planning to do it. Maybe finances were tied up in it. And this was when things started coming out about James. And there was an implication that she would no longer be on Vanderpump Valley if those things came out. Now, that would make more sense to me. It is much darker. Because that doesn't put Kristen in a powerful situation. Not that either of them are, but in Rachel's narrative, it's kind of like she took hush money, whereas it makes more sense that she was already tied up in something. And it was implied that if she was truthful or whatever, she would no longer have that. That is unfortunately how I would frame it, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. And I truly don't know. And again, as far as Rachel saying, like, she thinks that she took hush money, again, that is just what Rachel thought.
Thanks. Yeah.
It's not, again, could Bethany ask a clarifying question once again? Yeah. Absolutely. She could have been like, nice. So this. Yeah. So like, oh, I see. Like, so Rachel, like, how did you get to this, like, thinking point? But this is just what you think. No one has actually told you this. This has not been confirmed. But Bethany, again, Rachel saying this, boom, see, Bravo covers up things. They don't want you to, like, they give you hush money, they give you a spinoff. Like, that is, like, what she wants to go. But it's interesting, and I pointed this out on my Instagram, Rachel and Kristen have both used the same verbiage of one day they hope that the world will know about James Kennedy and that there will be justice. Both of them. Have said that almost the exact same thing to a T.
Yep.
So to me, it's almost like I'm wondering, there is something in both their minds that they're waiting for, either for someone else to come forward or something else to get out of the way for them to finally, you know, because again, I don't think they're both really ready to come out with everything because then it would be a whole fight. But I got... When Rachel and Bethany were talking about this part, I remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, here we go. Maybe this is it.
Yep.
Because me and you, like, talked about, like, you know, when it came on the show, as far as, like, Rachel's nose, and there's been other speculation about that. Again, speculation alleged, but, and I know Rachel has, like, she was on Sheena's podcast and Sheena asked her again about that. However, again, everyone can be in a different place as far as, like, when they're ready to tell certain stories. Or maybe that is truly what happened with her nose. I don't know. However, I know when Rachel, she even said, like, she has, like, seen him be violent, which so have we. Like, this whole narrative of, like, what? Like, it truly shocks me when people can be shocked by, like, this behavior that's being alleged about James.
Yeah.
Because we have seen a very, very emotionally abusive guy. And we still, and we talked about this on our last episode, like the reunion, so many things were brushed over. Yeah. James slapping that girl's ass and her having to, like, whatever, get involved. He did not deny it. They just brushed it under the rug.
Yep.
So, like, there's still things. And to me, it kind of seems like him and Allie are in, like, the honeymoon phase, and maybe things will start great between them. Like, obviously, I would hope for that. But it's like, I'm not going to lie. When Rachel started talking about this, I was like, okay. I knew she obviously maybe wouldn't say too much. But then also, I wasn't sure. I was like, hell, is this any of you? She's like, fuck yeah, I'm going to say it all. I didn't know. Because even her saying, like, the Sandoval and consent thing, I was like, oh, wow. Like, she actually said that on an interview.
Yeah.
So when she started to talk a little bit about James, then, you know, it's nothing went farther. But I do just, like, want people to remember that both her and Kristen have said the exact same verbiage when it comes to James. And I think that is very interesting to me. And I'm going to hold on to that for, because I know people are maybe thinking this big expose that is coming out as far as reality TV. Some people are thinking like they might talk about James in it. I don't know. Yeah. But so that's just that those words are sticking in my mind.
Oh, my God. Sorry. I haven't seen that they thought that they would bring up James, even though I guess they would, like, that would be something to bring up. I hadn't even considered that. And I was just like, God, if this thing comes out, it could be insane. If anything that anyone assumes about him is true. And we'll get to something else about him that,
The dog?
The dog.
Yes.
We'll get
yes.
there. Something else that when I say it wasn't elaborated on, when I rewatched it today, I was like, maybe I was in shock. And so there was a response and I didn't receive the response, but no, there was. I think she literally goes, yeah, like that. Like, Bethany,
yep.
Do your job.
Do your job. Be human. That is a human reaction to be like, what the fuck?
Yes. And I literally did that in Kroger as I listened. I go, what the fuck? Like, what? So then Bethany asks about whether or not the show was failing before Scandoval. Rachel, you know, confirms that it was going to be canceled. We all know this. And then, then Bethany, I guess this is when she gets into the two things. She does the reading, the dramatic reading of the things that were said to Rachel. Now, I'm going to lie. I was like, oof, this is really intense listening back. And I have always said, I said it after I watched the episode. I was like, it's really hard to hear these things being said to someone out loud. It is not something I'm comfortable with, but I do understand, at least from Ariana, I understand the feelings that she was going through and what was pushing her to say these things, but it is really rough to actually hear them. And a lot of people are talking about their feelings around Bethany doing this. What was your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so two things can be true. Ariana obviously can be entitled to those feelings and thoughts of what she was having. And obviously, Ariana, like this event seemed very traumatic for her. It also can be very traumatic for someone to hear those words. Yes. So Bethany taking the opportunity to read those words to her, first of all, if that doesn't show you that maybe Rachel has had some therapy, because that can be re-traumatizing. You do not do that.
No.
Like, that is not, like, Bethany, you're not a therapist doing a trauma letter to someone, like, an exercise that we do where someone, like, writes out a letter. Like, you were literally reading verbatim. That did not hit like you thought it was going to hit.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You cried, but Rachel didn't cry during that. But I think Bethany wanted her to. Bethany wanted her too. And I don't fault for Rachel not crying for that because of what I talked about earlier as far as like her and her emotions. But Bethany, you sit Rachel down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I have to laugh at it because when I was listening to this, I was like, what are you doing? Like, you read all these things. And also you leave out some context as far as like what was said in between that. What are some things Rachel said? And then like they responded with that. So, of course, she leaves that out. And so you then read that. You then start to cry. You can tell, even listening to it and then watching it, you really thought Bethany was like, this was her moment. Like, this was Bethany's moment.
Yes.
This was not Rachel's moment.
Yes.
So then Rachel kind of had to like, you know, Bethany was like, how did that make you feel? And she was like, no one should ever be spoken to like that. And that was the moment where I was like, okay, I'm glad that she realized like those words were not true. Like, obviously, Rachel is worthy. She is worthy of love.
Yes.
As far as like, no one should ever speak to you that way, I get that. But also, like, it's again, this disconnect of Rachel not understanding other people can have explosive emotions to these kind of things.
Right.
So I would have loved I would have a whole different interview, but I would have loved if like Bethany would explore that. But again, not going to get to that. So I think Bethany wanted us to think that she was trying to have this like powerful moment for Rachel, but it just turned into Bethany crying.
It was.
And then saying like, you know, I would have killed someone like if that was my daughter. Like, okay, Bethany, like, I get what you mean, but like, what are you doing? Because like, I don't know. I think in that moment, she really thought like, this will be it. Rachel will like cry in this moment. We'll have this huge moment. And she didn't get that. And that is Bethany for you.
You know, it's interesting. I'm thinking about it and like, the amount of times that Bethany mentioned like her daughter or if Rachel was her daughter and if her parents and like coming at it from a parent. And, you know, you're thinking about it at first and I'm like, God, I hate when people do this. And, you know, Bethany is taking this moment to just really talk about her values as a parent right now. And that's really not what we're talking about. But then I'm also like, it is interesting that Rachel, you know, has this. Hold on. I need to stop recording so that this will save because my computer might freak out. So 1 second.
Yep.
And as you guys can probably imagine, this is where we're taking a break. I will be posting the second part of this episode very shortly. You should be getting it in the next couple of days. And in the meantime, I will talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Tell me what you want.